Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our hope and redeemer. A few years ago, I was asked to give a presentation to the Association of Teachers who teach Year 12 Religious Studies in Victoria. The focus of the presentation that I was asked to give was on asylum seekers and the scriptural witness to giving asylum. And along with myself, presentations on the same theme were also given by a rabbi and an imam. And no, it's not a joke about a rabbi, a priest, and an imam walking to a whatever. And at the end of the presentations, there was a Q&A session with the three of us and the teachers. And one person asked all three of us, are we optimistic or pessimistic about the future? And my colleagues, the rabbi and the imam, both said that they were pessimistic. I said, on the other hand, that I'm neither pessimistic nor optimistic, because I think both pessimism and optimism are closed states of mind that proceed from unfounded assumptions about the essential nature of reality. My questioner was a bit stumped by that and said, so what are you then? And I said, I'm someone who lives in hope. Because hope is neither pessimistic nor optimistic. Hope understands that life and the world and reality are neither just one thing or just the other, but that they are in fact a conglomeration of a whole lot of things at the same time, some of which are contradictory or even in conflict with each other, but which we must necessarily hold in tension together. My questioner seemed even more dissatisfied with that answer and said, but how can you live with that uncertainty? And I said, because hope recognizes that the future is always fluid. The future is always open. The future is always there to be made. And that means that there is always the possibility of new tomorrows, of new horizons, of new beginnings, even new life on the other side of destruction and suffering and death. I'm not sure that this particular teacher went away satisfied with that answer. And of course, there's always that level of discomfort that we all feel with ambiguity, with uncertainty. We all like things to be black and white. We all like things to be cut and dried, plain and simple and made clear. But I think we all know from our own experience that things are rarely like that. And of course that introduces a certain tension, because along with hope goes fear. We fear the worst but hope for the best, as one saying goes. And we carry these two things together within us. And sometimes hope is more prevalent, and at other times fear is more prevalent. And it can be a tricky balancing act. to walk in that ambiguity, to walk in that space, that area of uncertainty that is called living in hope. It may not seem like it at first glance, but today's reading from the Gospel according to Luke is about living in hope. It's about living in that twilight zone of uncertainty that accepts and encapsulates the messiness of reality, but which nonetheless trusts and hopes in the truth that that messiness does not have the final word about us. And now at first glance, and in part this is a problem with the way that the lectionary cuts up readings and delivers them to us each Sunday, at first glance this may not seem that way, but we have to look at the context of today's reading. Today's reading is a passage that is often known as the song or the canticle of Zechariah. Now, we all know who Zechariah is, but we kind of don't pay him much attention, in part because we understandably tend to focus on Mary and Zechariah's wife Elizabeth, but also because we tend to have a preconceived idea about Zechariah. Today's reading occurs at the end of a sequence of events in which, beginning with the announcement to Zechariah and Elizabeth that they were going to be parents despite their advanced age, and when Zechariah expresses some understandable skepticism, he is struck dumb. And just before today's passage, as Elizabeth gives birth, she says, "The boy will be called John." And all the relatives say, "But hang on, you don't have any family members or relatives called John." And so they turn to Zechariah and say, even though he still cannot speak, and says, "What will this child be named?" And he takes a chalkboard and says, "The child's name is John." And the moment he writes that, he can speak again. And we tend to think of Zechariah's story as a story of judgment about his lack of faith. He is struck dumb when he disbelieves, when he expresses skepticism. And then he's released from that as soon as he's good and faithful and says, "Yes, the child's name will be John." But if we take that view, then we actually miss the central message here. Because Zechariah isn't made mute because of his lack of faith. Zechariah's muteness is a symbol of his fear, of his inability to trust. Sure, at one level, at surface events, being told he and Elizabeth are going to give birth to a child, and that this child will be the precursor, the one, the voice crying from the wilderness, who proclaims the Messiah. Of course, in our own skeptical age, we would treat such words with skepticism, even perhaps cynicism. But it's not a lack of faith that silences Zechariah. It's his succumbing to fear, his inability to trust. To have hope manifests itself in muteness. And of course, we all of us know from experience the silencing effect of fear. We all of us can think about times when we might like to have spoken up, or perhaps we ought to have spoken up, but in which fear made us silent. It doesn't matter if it was an important matter or a small matter. We all know about the silencing effect of fear. And this is exactly what happens to Zechariah. He succumbs to fear. He succumbs to the inability to trust, to have hope, and is rendered mute. And his song of praise that we have read in today's passage is not just a song of praise to God. It is an expression of his own liberation from fear, from his release to his captivity. But it is also a prophetic statement, not just about his own son John, but about the Messiah who is to come, the one who will release us from our fear. And in Zechariah's time, it wasn't a prophecy that the Messiah would release them, the people, from the imperial rule of the Romans. It was that the Messiah would release them from the fear, from the shame, from the guilt that kept them silent. And we all have fears and shames and guilts that keep us silent. For some of us, it's the guilty secret, the skeleton in the closet that if other people found out about, we would be mortified for others to know. For some of us, it's the event in the past where we did or said or didn't do or say something, and we have been subsequently haunted by the consequences. And for others of us, it's fear of the future, whether it's climate change or the fear that our children or grandchildren will never be able to afford their own home, or some other fear about the future. And when we look around the world today, it can be easy to be consumed by fear. When we take note of the wars and the civil conflicts that are going on, when we look at things like the rising cost of living, where even basic staples are becoming harder and harder to afford, or when we look at the church and we fear the future because the church as we know it today is not the church we grew up in and want it to be. So often we can be silenced by fear. We can cling to old ways and old modes and old forms of being because they offer us security. And we become silent, trapped within the well of fear. But the song, the canticle of Zechariah, reminds us today that Jesus came among us to tell us that we need not be afraid. The future is open. It is fluid. It holds possibility and promise. No matter what the challenges and the difficulties of today may present, whether at the personal, the communal, the national, the international level. Today's reading is a reassurance that we can live in hope. Not mindless hope, where we just sit back and assume God will take care of everything. Yes, we have to act. We have to do. We have to speak. But let our acts, let our words, let what we do and who we are proceed not from fear, but from hope. Because today's reading reminds us that the final word ultimately belongs to God. And it is not our fears that silence us that will speak, but it is God's love and compassion for us all. So whatever you might be afraid of, whatever it is that causes you to tremble in fear, whatever it is that silences you and captures you, today's reading reminds us you can have hope, you can trust, and through trust and hope you can learn to love, and in loving and in being loved, we can all of us be set free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.